With rabies now just 300 kilometres from the top end, health officials believe it is a case of not if, but when the disease will appear in Australia. Earlier this year on RM Breakfast, we heard about efforts underway to prepare for that eventuality. But what about the work that's currently being done on our doorstep to contain this highly lethal disease? In recent years, rabies has been on a march down Indonesia's archipelago since it arrived in Bali in 2008. More than 100 people have died after receiving bites from rabid dogs. The International Fund for Animal Welfare is in Bali working with the local community to reduce the number of street dogs. Heading up that program is Kate Natras, who's guest speaker at a conference on Indigenous Community Animal Management, which is going on in Darwin this week. Kate Natras, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hi, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Kate, a lot of Australians go to Bali and go to many places in Asia, really. And most of us would be familiar with the very many mangy street dogs that are around. Do we know what proportion of those dogs on the streets of Bali, for instance, might be rabid?
I can't give you an exact number on that. I would say the proportion is really very low at this point. A successful vaccination program was put into place in 2010, and although that hasn't been kept up as systematically as we would like to see, the incidence of rabies in Bali is actually significantly lower at this point than it was at the height of the epidemic.
So how bad is the problem in Bali?
Well, the problem in Bali right now is under control. The problem is that culling continues to be the go-to approach by some government leaders, and culling has been shown scientifically to be absolutely the wrong approach when it comes to rabies. So vaccination campaigns, the better and the more effective they can be, and the better the government can interact with the local NGOs who really know the dogs and the people, the more effective rabies management is going to be in Bali.
You're involved with a program called Three Cups of Coffee. What is that? What's the point of that one?
So that's a really different approach. The idea is that in Bali, you know, the dogs are everywhere, and there's an assumption that the street dogs are unowned. But when you look at it, about 99% of the dogs that you see in Balinese villages are owned by people who care for them. And the Three Cups of Coffee approach, it's a participatory approach, which is radical in animal welfare. We so often go into communities saying that we know what should be done, we know what's wrong, and we go in, we provide medicine to the animals, and we do things to the animals. And we really neglect the half of the equation that is their owners. And their owners have everything to do with what happens in that dog's life, how long it lives, where it goes, and what vaccinations it receives. So the approach is really to begin with the people and to get the people on our side, because that makes disease management and animal welfare management so much easier.
And more effective? I mean, how is this different to others? I know many years ago when I was in Athens in the lead up to the Olympics, there was a lot of street dogs there, and the authorities were trying to just whip them off the street and kill them, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, like, here's an example. In Bali, some of the villages in the rabies epidemic, the government came and they culled all of the dogs in the village. And a few months later, you'd go back to the village and it was completely full of dogs again. So the problem is, if you vaccinate all of the dogs in a village and then you come through and you reduce the population without the will of the people are going to go back and do what they wanted anyway, which is get dogs. And now they have a naive population that's unvaccinated against rabies. So the entire idea on this approach is get people on board first. Get people on board and get them to understand what it takes to take good care of their animals, and they will bring their animals for rabies vaccinations, and they'll maintain the rabies vaccination protocols. You don't have to go out searching for them and net dogs at that point, and certainly culling is off the table.
And just a little more on the personal relationship between the dogs and the people. You call them their animals and you say they are owned. Are they pets? Do people regard these dogs as pets, or do they have other animals as what we would think of as pets?
You know, around the world, we see a range of dog ownership, and it's everything from what we have in our communities, where our dogs are in our bedrooms, sometimes sleeping on our pillows, to places where dogs are maintained in public. In Bali, I would say, surprisingly, it's a bit closer to what we see as dog ownership. People have animals for a variety of reasons, for protection, for companionship, and to be a doorbell, really. They stand at the entrances and let people know when people are coming by. Mm-hmm. But as those animals get healthier, as those animals don't don't look scary to people anymore. They develop closer relationships to them. And so that's really a fundamental aspect of our project, is that we help people develop those closer relationships with their animals. And what we're seeing now is people interacting with their pets. They're bathing them, they're washing them, they're brushing them daily, they're giving them loving embraces as they walk by. It's really changed the nature of the Bali Village dog.
And it's not just the Bali Village dog. There's dog populations roaming the streets in most Asian countries I've been to, in India, in Athens, as I said, many years ago. Are you looking at programs, or is your organization working with programs in other countries, other places?
Well, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is a member of the International Companion Animal Management Coalition. And so while we don't have projects in each of those countries, we collaborate closely with some of the other global programs that do. And we all fundamentally share the same approach. And that's that you really have to respect the community's relationship with its dogs, and you have to understand and manage to that before you decide what you're going to be doing to the dogs themselves.
And tourists, what's your message to tourists and these dogs?
Tourists, I think, should respect the relationships that Balinese have with their dogs as well. Sometimes it's easy as a tourist to be really confronted by what you're seeing and to feel angry and feel bitter. And I think what can help is showing compassion to animals, to not interacting with them in rough ways, and certainly not interacting with the locals in rough ways about their dogs.
But if you feel compassion, if you feel sad for the dogs, maybe you need to be careful about interacting with them at all, because you don't know which ones might have rabies.
That's true. I would say the risk of a tourist getting rabies is really quite low. But if you are bitten by a dog in Bali, absolutely get yourself to the medical authorities immediately.
Okay, Kate, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Kate Natras from the International Fund for Animal Welfare. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 12 minutes to 9.